Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Tyra Fraser. On today's show, we touch on the tricky subject of mental health and suicide in gay men.
Plus, we got podcasts from Brigstow and Kiki.
All today,
right here on Shout Out. That's you at the beginning of that, really, isn't it? You in your choral days.
My choral days? Do you think that your Bristol accent in choral works? Mm. So, Daddy.
Well, all she had to do is go, arr.
It's the wooden leg and the parrot, isn't it? Gives it her.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Tara.
Hello.
How are you?
It's been a while, hasn't
it? Yeah, it has.
A month, yeah. Yeah.
Hello, Terry.
Hello.
Oh, sorry, you're a little bit quiet there, aren't you? And hello, Trouble.
Good evening. Who are you again? I missed the first time.
Isn't it nice? The clock's gone forward.
Yes, it's light out, isn't it? Mm. 8 o'clock, we'll be finished.
So yes. But isn't it annoying? Worse. It's 1 degree.
The weather's got worse. It was hailstones on Monday.
Yeah.
15 degrees in Swansea on Monday as well, mind you.
It's snowing over in Wales, isn't it? Certain parts of it.
Yes, it was. My parents actually texted me and actually said that they had a bit of snow. Yeah.
Mind you, it has been known to snow here in June before now.
Yes, it has.
I think in the 70s there was a cricket match cancelled. One of the big international ones was cancelled because they had a foot of snow.
Good old British weather.
See, we're so British, we talk about it.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely,
the thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
No, don't they in other countries talk about their weather then?
Not in the same degree, I don't think. No, I think there is an obsession. And I think, the gay, if you're wondering, if you're listening, you think, well, what's this got to do with the LGBTQ community?
It's fluctuating.
It's because we control the weather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Transsexual typhoons?
Yeah. We thought...
We weren't just talking about you, Tara.
Oh, dear. Transsexual typhoons, whatever it is.
Gay tornadoes and transsexual typhoons.
It is true. And what was really funny was when we were going through the whole, like, marriage equality thing, you know, there were all those things all over the news, all over the world about you can't allow it because gay people cause, like, droughts and earthquakes.
Disasters,
and the like. And then when we start to get to the whole kind of, like, trans equality thing recently, they've done exactly the same again.
Oh, yeah. They'd rule it out every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. To be some other minority next.
If we could, the amount that we like to party, do you not think that we'd make it nice and sunny and just go sit on the beach? not storms and...
Yeah, that's very true. And I think we'd have rainbows and glitter balls everywhere. And unicorns.
Unicorns. Yes. So Bristol's famous for unicorns.
It is now.
Yeah. No, genuinely, Bristol is famous for unicorns, yeah.
Well,
the unicorns, and I know this because the South West Rubbermen have them on their logo now. And the reason that they have them on their logo is because the unicorns are the animals that hold up the crest on the coat of arms for Bristol.
See, and I just thought I was hallucinating. And they're real. Now you tell me.
You can even see them if you look on top of the council building in College Green.
Giant unicorns. Maybe they could be decorated for Pride.
That's talking about tissues.
Can we make them like rain glitter? It's
they can be anything you want them to be because they're fictitious.
Sorry, I'm going to put it out there. How can somebody from Scotland deride the city and county of Bristol's unicorns?
Well, we've got haggis, you know, they run down the hill.
I mean, next should we say
they do, but they've only got three legs.
Yes. Next should we say that Bristol's shy giraffe doesn't exist too.
Or the crocodile.
Crocodile?
Yeah, in the harbour.
Oh, that's an urban myth, isn't it? Yes.
It's too cold.
The crocodile on the River Avon.
What crocodile would sit in that cold water?
Oh. Although, I do have to say, hats off to the council for that new infrared camera scheme. Did you see?
No.
Two people fell into the water and the thermal cameras picked it up and alerted the authorities.
Oh, okay.
And they were rescued and safe from drowning, because lots of people have been falling in over the last few years and drowning.
Yeah,
I think they always have.
Maybe
just
a touch of the too much drinking, maybe?
Well, possibly. But yeah, I was reading the article and it said that it has like a virtual barrier on it on the camera. And thermal imaging, so it can see your body heat. And if you step over the virtual barrier and fall in the water, it immediately alerts the call centres and they send out a rescue boat.
So didn't somebody grasp that? The pub? Footpath?
Yeah.
Harbour.
You know, just a small minor thought. So,
you know, you walk out, had a few too many,
fall in,
go straight out the door.
These things happen.
A few feet later, and it's getting cold.
That's why your pond's got so much less water in it, isn't it?
Sorry.
Anyway,
I didn't understand that one.
So anyway, let's should we go over? It's Brixtow's turn this month, isn't it?
It is Brixtow. Yes.
So have a listen to this.
My five on shout out.
Hello and welcome to April's My Five with Brixtow, and you are listening to me, Aled. So let's kick things off with our April / Easter springtime podcast. Thank God the winter is leaving and we are heading straight on into spring and summer. Bring on the sunshine. So before we go into anything Brixtow related, I just really want to highlight a show that was broadcast on FX last year and now it is on the iPlayer. If you haven't watched it or heard about it already, then please do have a look at the TV series called Pose. It is on BBC iPlayer right now. The whole of series one is on there, and BBC two, and it follows the 80s New York ball scene, and it is where RuPaul has had a lot of her inspiration, but they touch on a lot of LGBT plus and related subjects in there, and they do it amazingly. There's a lot of trans actors and actresses in there, and they are, it's just a phenomenal show, showing the rights of them back then, highlighting that it was trans women who are people of colour who provided a much needed space for a lot of people who had nowhere to go, for them to be able to find their identities and become themselves. And it touches and highlights the HIV and AIDS epidemic and the scary part of not knowing when you were going to die back then. And it is an amazing, amazing show, and it's incredible. So if you haven't watched it, I would say go forth and watch it. So what I'm going to talk about this month from a Brixtow point of view is our campaigns group. And this is a group of volunteers that over the past 2 years has dramatically and dynamically changed the conversation surrounding HIV in Bristol and the image and brand awareness of Brixtow and what we do and who we're here to support. The campaigns group are a dedicated group of volunteers. Some of them have been service users before. And we are just here to continue to make sure that HIV is on everybody's agenda, it's in everybody's mind, and to break the stigma that unfortunately is still surrounding many, many people living with HIV. On a personal note, I would say that medically in the UK, HIV doesn't kill anymore, but mentally and socially it can. And it is because of self-stigma and the stigma surrounding HIV from workplaces, from family, from friends, from the media, that really can isolate these people at a very scary point in their life. This campaigns group is amazing. We do a lot of outreach. We go, you will see us at Bristol Pride, Western Pride, Trans Pride. We are at St. Paul's. We'll be at Bristol Refugee Celebration as well. With our stand, with us there, talking about what U equals U means, which is undetectable equals untransmittable, letting people know about PrEP, PEP, And everything HIV related, as well as letting people know what our services are, who we are here to support, which is pretty much anyone living with or has been affected by HIV. Now, last year, we won the best community stall at Bristol Pride, which is a phenomenal feat for a group that has a very, very limited budget. So what we actually managed to accomplish with the resources that we have, it is phenomenal. We are looking for more voices and people to join us. Now, you don't have to be HIV positive. You can be negative. And if you are positive, you don't need to openly disclose your status. You just need to feel comfortable being associated with Brigstow and talking about HIV in general. Now, you will get the training so you can talk about that confidently. But we need more voices to join us so we can do more community outreach, and we've got more bodies on the ground spreading our cause. Our next meeting is Thursday, April the 18th. It will be at Brigstow, which is in Eastern Community Centre, opposite the Plough Pub. It will start at 6 and it will run between 6 and 7. And that is just a drop-in for any new members who are interested in joining and seeing if it is something that you fancy doing. So please do have a think. And if you think you can give up a couple of time now and then to Brigstow, we will be more than appreciated. But that is all from me now. Just another quick reminder, follow us on all social media platforms, Twitter and Facebook. It's at Brigstow Info, and we are at Brigstow on Instagram. Drop us a like, drop us a follow, join in on our conversations, and thank you for listening, and I will speak to you next month. Goodbye.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
And that's Riptide.
Oh, no.
And that's by Vance Joy, that one. So, hello, Terry.
Good evening.
It's that time. Hello, Diana.
Hello.
Should we get some news headlines?
You're more than welcome, yes.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 4th of April, 2019.
Was Harvey Milk a suitable hero for the labour movement? Well, that was the question posed by the communist newspaper The Morning Star last week. In a full-page piece to mark the start of the build-up to World Pride in New York, the paper looked at the complicated relationship between 1970s gay and feminist politics and the wider left-wing and countercultural movements that gave new life to LGBT activism at the time, but which were also anathema to gay freedom. The Morning Star, which has supported gay rights since the old Communist Party of Britain adopted a lesbian and gay platform back in 1976, criticises Milk for his fiscal conservatism, which he melded with his experiences in the hippie movement to become a popular political figure in San Francisco in the years before his assassination in November 1978. Interestingly, the piece fails to mention the homophobia that was prevalent on the political left at this time, a period when groups supportive of dictatorships were highly active in the trade union and labour movement. However, the article acknowledges Harvey Milk's incredible achievements as the first openly gay man to be elected in the Western world and his symbolic status as a true LGBT hero.
Gay atheist and anti-religion campaigners note this week that the popular street-sold magazine The Big Issue reports that Christianity is in decline in the UK. The number of people identifying with the religion fell by a staggering 4.5 million people between 2001 and 2011. The magazine was analysing the link between fundamentalist Christian groups and those who believe in creation theory. That is the idea that life was started deliberately by a supernatural being. The Big Issue found that contrary to some alarming reports in the populist press, only 9% of British people are creationists. a philosophy which usually goes hand in hand with religious extremism.
A local muckraking news sheet, the Bristolian, has been sharply criticised on social media for apparently abandoning its previous vocal support for LGBT civil rights. The paper, which has a box number at the queer-friendly bookstore The Hydra on Old Market Street in the city's gay village, was created back in 2004 and was for a while edited by Ian Bone, the well-known anarchist political figure and supporter of LGBT freedom through his work with the national paper called Class War. In those days, it routinely rounded on anti-gay politicians and once famously described one as a homophobic weirdo. However, according to some local gay campaigners, the Bristolian has slipped into conspiracy theories, attacked the anti-racist charity Sari, and has now published a piece which talks about a nefarious LGBT lobby in politics. Humanists UK, the main body representing the interests of those without any religious faith and a firm defender of LGBT civil rights, has been in touch. They have exciting news about their annual convention, a real treat if you are not religious. They say that the BBC Radio 4 presenter Baroness Joan Bakewell, who is also co-chair of the all-party parliamentary humanist group, Christina Patterson and Professor Sir John Curtis, the president of the British Polling Council, have been added to their existing lineup. Hundreds of tickets for the three-day event in Leicester have been sold. The Ancient City will play host to the convention, to be held in the beautiful Art Deco surrounds of the Leicester Athena over the 21st to the 23rd of June 2019. Do a web search for Humanist UK for more information.
The government's Talk to Frank service, a standard national rate national helpline and web resource for non-judgmental and impartial facts about illegal and legal drugs, has had a facelift recently and is now more mobile device friendly than before. There are some people within the LGBT communities who are statistically more likely to use drugs, and in parts of London there is a subculture called slamming or chemsex, which involves guys taking narcotic substances. Anyway, for the facts and assistance, do an internet search for Talk to Frank. Meanwhile, a Bristol-based group called Transform advocates drug law reform and argues that the current attempts to prohibit many narcotics is senseless and feeds social problems.
And finally, The Voice, Britain's largest black and minority ethnic community newspaper, reports that a new formal alliance has been struck between the gay charity Stonewall and UK Black Pride, which it says is an annual celebration for African, Asian, Middle Eastern, Latin and Caribbean heritage LGBTQ people. The new alliance comes, according to both groups, after more than 8 years of more informal collaboration. The work undertaken will be led by black and minority ethnic local groups and activists, and the aim is to drive meaningful empowerment and social change and to coordinate campaigning efforts on issues which affect BME LGBTQ people. Stonewall, for its part, will increase financial support for Black Pride and will also be appointing a full-time BME worker.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at Shoutout Radio LGBT.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Diana Carver.
Shout out news.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
That's a Broken by Lovely the Band. So I like that one. Well, I picked them all, so I like them all. So I only pick ones I don't like to annoy Lara when she's here. But Matthew picked them all last week, so
I know.
Think he did a really good selection as well.
I haven't recovered from the one he dedicated to me.
Haven't you?
Well, I don't know what he's trying to say about my sartorial elegance.
So I hope he's better now.
He had the lurgy that's been going around.
Yeah, lots of it still. Yeah. So it warms up, hopefully, that kind of thing will start to disappear.
End of winter colds and flu now, isn't it?
Yeah. So people must get them in the summer.
Oh, I've had summer colds.
Have
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Yeah, they can be quite.
Yeah, yeah. So a change of season happens.
I've had it. I've had it when I've had hay fever. It's horrible having a cold and hay fever at the same time. Mm. You're just like a snot monster.
I know. So there's probably a fetish scene for that as well. I can look it up tonight.
Yeah, we found out what Steph's hanky colour is. We'll tell you later on in the show. So anyway, you can hear a giggling in the corner. It's because it's your first time on air with us, isn't
That's
it?
Right,
but
yeah.
A very warm welcome to Hannah.
Thank you.
Do you want to introduce yourself? Who you're from and what you do, that kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, I'm Hannah. I'm a project support worker. I work in suicide prevention for the HOPE project, which is part of Second Step. I'm currently, well, our team is made of six, so right. We're a very small new team. We began last October off the back of a very successful research project, reaching out to men between the ages of 30 to 65.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, do you want me to?
No. Well, I was just going to explain, because I mean the subject that we're talking today about is suicide in BGT men, isn't it?
Yes.
And it was quite interesting. We were talking before we came on air about the statistics, and it is trans men especially that suffer quite a lot from it, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So 48% of trans men have attempted suicide, and 84% of trans men have thought about death by suicide. And generally, statistically in the UK, men are three times more likely than women to end their lives through suicide.
And it's particularly prevalent in BGT.
Very much so.
I mean, we're not saying it doesn't happen if you're heterosexual, but it's more likely. Why is that?
I think that the pressures that men feel generally within society, you know, that kind of image of man up, the stigma surrounding gender conformity, you know, pressures as well from both peer groups, family, financial pressures. But not only if they've got those pressures, they have a belief still that they shouldn't be talking about them. Or not only that, that they shouldn't have them in the first place.
Right.
So over years and years of repression, of not talking.
And do I take it the fact that this survey and the like was aimed at 30, did you say up to 60, 65? Is that the kind of statistical age that's the most likely?
Yeah, they class that as middle age. I know it's surprising.
Oh.
I know. Yeah. So I'm middle-aged, apparently 33. But yeah, so men between 30 and 65 are at the greatest risk of death by suicide. So it's the HOPE project came off the back of a research project that kind of brought that even further to people's attention.
So what services do you provide? How do they work?
It's a short-term service. We aim to meet with men within 2 weeks. Initially, they get an assessment over the phone, a referral process by one of my managers, Marina, generally, or somebody that's at the office.
Yep.
And what we aim to do, so we're a practical and emotional support service for these men, and that includes gay, bisexual, trans men, anybody who identifies as male, who fits between the ages of 30 to 65, can come to our service and be supported by one of the HOPE project workers.
So is that a talking service?
It is. It's quite unique. It's very person-centred, so it's about working with the emotional needs of each person and the practical needs. So what we found is, and I'll speak on behalf of myself, is that I'm supporting 10 men currently, and each of those men have come to me with emotional and mental health needs, but with that drops directly below that is financial worries, relationship concerns, housing benefits, GP, you know, psychiatric services. So what we aim to do is look at the whole picture.
Is that because they feel really unseen in society, perhaps? Is there a bit of that goes on?
I think that a lot of men generally feel unseen. And I think that with the GBT plus men, I think that's even more so. And I think that the ostracisation, you know, the general stigma, the harassment, bullying, abuse that still goes on within society is something that's deeply, deeply impacting these men.
Yeah. So how does it start then? Because I mean, if you're in that situation and you're struggling so much that you are contemplating something as as drastic as suicide, why would I pick up the phone and phone you?
That's a really good question, and I think often what may trigger that first connection is that we don't know them. So what I
I get to talk to a stranger,
yeah,
and
completely,
you know, and is that first conversation? I'm just trying to think, you know, if someone's in the situation, what would make them actually want to pick up the phone and phone you? So is it I can just pick up and talk to you and say I'm having these feelings and, yeah, I don't know, and is it just a general kind of chat the first one?
Yes. Yeah. So what would happen? So if we go with like an example of self-referral, a gentleman would call the Hope office. And they would generally speak to Marina, but it could be any one of the team members that are there. And then we ask them if they'd be happy for us to take a referral. So that just means going through a few questions and them talking openly for as long as they want. So that could be a few minutes. It could be half an hour to an hour of them just having a conversation about where they're at, what they're struggling with. We support men that are still in hospital. We support men that have come out that day. And we do aim to see them as quickly as we can. And we're finding now that I don't know the actual statistics or percentages, but I would say it's around 50-50 for self-referral. And then for referrals that could be family, friends, GPs, psychiatric liaison.
So if like a loved one, yeah, if I'm worried about a loved one, I can also, yeah, phone you and say.
You can,
you know.
Yeah.
But what if the loved one hasn't quite identified that they might need help yet?
It has to be identified by the person, is what I would say there. I suppose you can encourage it.
I was going to say, are there, if you're that worried about someone, you're really, yeah, worried they're going to do something serious.
Yeah.
What kind of advice could you give to that person to say, get them to identify so we can talk to them?
It's going to sound quite easy, but it's about having an open conversation with that person and actually using the words. It takes takes some of the power away from it. So if you use the word suicide, are you feeling suicidal?
And talk about death.
Yeah.
Because actually, what can you do wrong?
Yeah.
If someone's suicidal,
yeah,
what can you do wrong other than talk about death and suicide? Because, mm-hmm, if you're going to bring that up, it opens up the conversation.
Yeah, and it could be that they've never spoken about it and can't even believe that other people knew that that was going on for them, and that can be the first step. But anybody can call the Hope Project. So if I was worried about a family member and called the Hope Project, you could have a conversation, but it would then be down to the person that was in that place.
Right. I mean, I know from friends I've seen go through, it can be extremely frustrating when you know someone needs help.
Of course.
And you can't get them to actually even acknowledge the fact that they need that help. So it's good that they can actually phone you and ask for advice in that situation too. So.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think the nice thing about the Hope Project is, well, one, it's free. Two, currently it's a short-term waiting list. So
which
what
is
can
amazing.
Happen... Yeah, so currently they can come in for an assessment with, say, myself, and if they don't feel that's right for them, that's absolutely fine. But what we've found with all the men I've worked with is getting through that door has broken down a huge amount of those barriers and their fears, because they're seeing a person, they're having a conversation, and they suddenly feel a huge weight has been lifted.
Fantastic thing. So you're having a lot of success with the service, I take it?
Yes, we are. We are currently supporting around 100 men, and we didn't start supporting men until November.
I'm going to ask a question, because obviously Shout Out broadcasts over quite a wide area,
yeah,
in the southwest. Is this a Bristol-centric service?
So it's Bristol, South Gloss and Weston.
Right.
Currently.
Oh, right. So yeah, you've got quite a reach then.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, and we've got two support workers for each area. But what we're finding at the moment is that we go to where the need is.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. So if anyone is listening and is in a situation, mm-hmm, where they, you know, perhaps just want to get a bit more information or wants to have a chat with you or something like that, what's the best course of action they can take?
The best course of action for them is, I would suggest calling the Hope office.
Right.
The best hours to try to make contact are between 10 and half past 2, but there should be people there before and after that.
Right.
The number is 0117 4288 930. And they'll be speaking to one of the Hope Project workers or the Hope management.
Brilliant. Cool. Well, listen, it's lovely to hear about these things, you know, because it's really easy with the way society's going and things are getting so much easier, and everything LGBT plus is becoming more accepted.
Yeah.
There's still a long way to go. It's not perfect. No one's denying that. But it's very easy to think that because it's getting better, these things are also going away,
of
and
course.
They're not.
Yeah.
So it's brilliant to hear about a service that's working, and do keep it up and stay
you.
In touch.
We'll do.
But for now, thank you very much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Stay with us We'll be back shortly when we'll be catching up with Kiki. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
She moves. Hear that, Steph? She moves. Didn't need walking sticks.
My microphone off, haven't I? So it makes really good radio, my reply, didn't it?
So. Anyway, should we catch up with Kiki?
Hey there.
And today we're going to be talking to you about black queerness and in music and how it's represented and how it makes us feel, because we've both been to see two amazing black queer women and we're both inspired by them. So Sheila, so you went to see Janelle Monáe and you went up on stage, which was really amazing. So tell me about that and tell me about how it's influenced your queerness today and what you feel about her basically.
Okay, well, anybody who knows me knows that I've loved Janelle Monáe since I was like 14, 15. It's been a running obsession in my life. And so I went to see her with a group of amazing people. And it was just totally incredible. Like, she is just such a dynamic performer, so energetic, so charismatic, and she really interacted with the audience. Towards the end of the concert, she was singing a song called "I Got the Juice," and then she was like, "So now I want to find out if any people in the audience have got the juice. Four people are going to come up and dance with me on stage." At this point, everybody went crazy. Now, my friends and I had muscled our way to the front because we knew we had to get close to her. But I had my pride flag with me, which I'd taken to Black Pride as well.
Yeah.
So it was already imbued with a kind of magic, you know? So I was jumping up and down, waving the flag. I was like, "I've got the juice! I've got the juice, Janelle!" And she picked a bunch of people, and then she looked at me and she just pointed. And at first I was like, "Oh no, you must be pointing at somebody else." And I turned around and, but no, it was at me. So I went up,
and you definitely had the juice.
Oh my god.
I've seen that. Let's go back to when you were 14. What are the reasons why she was so important to you?
Well, I don't think I had really articulated my queerness to myself at that stage, in any substantive way. But she was really important to me because of the way she presented herself. She dressed really androgynously. She wore suits all the time. She had this amazing pompadour. Her songs were just about her being carefree and black and happy. And they were also celebratory. You know, she was really celebrating her blackness. She was celebrating being a woman. She was celebrating her friendships with other women. And even though, like, she also, there was nothing, she never said that she was queer back then. I guess I had a sense of it. And also, it just felt like even if she wasn't queer, there was just something so free and open about her. I think she kind of gave off the same vibe as Prince, you know, who never really spoke about his sexual identity or gender identity, but, well, actually, no, he did. He was like, "I'm not a woman, I'm not a man, I'm something you'll never understand." And so, like, but Janelle Monáe gave off that same vibe. And so there's just this overarching feeling of freedom about her that I really wanted to access as a kid. And although, obviously, when you're a kid, there's so many constraints on you, so something that I could, like, live vicariously.
So it was important for you to have a black queer icon, kind of, because, like, for me, so I went and saw Sid the Kid, who was with the internet, who was just, honestly, my dreams were made. Like, she's beautiful, beautiful smile, great groove, like, and I felt like she was staring at me. She wasn't,
I'm sure she looked in your eyes.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I just realised, when I first found her, it was amazing, because I was like, this is a woman singing about a woman and her being in love with her. Girl was the first song I heard, and for me that was really affirming of my own identity, and I really felt that I could live through that. Like, I'd never been in love with a girl, but, like, I definitely have felt like love towards someone who is a girl, and the fact that she talks about it so explicitly and so freely and so like unadulterated, like it was just meant so much more to me as a black queer woman trying to figure out who the hell I am. So I don't know, do you feel the same way about Janelle Monáe?
I do, and I think, well, last year she released her most recent album Dirty Computer, and in that one she was very explicit about, you know, who she desires, what she wants the world to look like for herself and for the communities that she's part of. And it was beautiful, because what she, like, she was talking about black queer resistance. She's talking about, there's this line that she has where she's like, I'm not the American nightmare, I'm the American dream. And so it was, all of it was just extremely affirming. It was taking all of the negative narratives and stereotypes about black people, about queer people, about a bunch of marginalized people, and saying that actually these things that others consider us, that make others consider us dirty computers, are the things that make us the most beautiful and unique. Yeah. And, you know, she was also just imagining a world where who we are can be beautiful and can flourish. Yeah. And I mean, who we are is already beautiful.
Yeah.
Every single day. And I think that was really it, is her seeing us and being like, yeah, y'all are amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to celebrate you.
It's also important to note that, like, there's a history of black women is pre-colonial. Like, there's been in ancient Africa, there's been stories of men marrying men or men marrying boys. Transvestism was, or now called transgender, that movement was deitized. People used to go to them as like oracle kind of people that they can learn from. So it's not that queerness hasn't been in black culture, it's just that articles have been lost, history's been lost through many years of colonialism and strife within our own country. So it's really important for us to relearn about black queerness, and I think music is an excellent way of learning about other people's experiences, but through a medium that we all know and we can all dance to. And dancing is such an important part of our culture, so to rock to a beat that's talking about a black queer woman, you're just like, yeah, okay,
it's perfect. And I think also what I found with Janelle Monáe is that it's been really unifying. It's brought me closer not only to other black queer people, but also even to like my black straight family. Mm. Like, I have an auntie who's just as obsessed with Janelle Monáe as I am, and she's straight. But it's like, it's something that's really bonded us, and it's helped, I don't know, it helped me to come out to her and to just be like, this is who I am. And she met me with so much acceptance. And yesterday, actually, she messaged me and she was like, you know, I'm so proud of you, right? And I was just like, auntie,
so nice.
I love you.
So it's important for us to realize where our black queerness comes from, and part of that is through music. And we're going to be coming to you with way more podcasts about our black queerness, the history of it, and furthermore. But I think Sheila has been amazing today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura.
That is a goodbye from me as well. Have a lovely evening. Bye.
Bye.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Be with you. That's by Mr. Big. So what did you say, 92?
Yeah, I think it's 92.
Yeah. Hello, Andy Bunner.
Hello.
So, Steph.
Here we go.
Lime green, hey?
Like, is that what you reckon?
That's what we reckon.
Left. I don't mind left or right, actually. No, I could go quite by for being taken out for dinner. I don't mind paying, but preferably somebody take me out.
We've been finding, in case you haven't heard of it, that there is a thing called the hanky code that is dates back for decades and decades.
Everyone's heard of it, Andy. Yeah. It's only me that hadn't.
Well, no, there will be younger listeners who perhaps haven't. So, but
what, younger than me?
It was all about you wore a hanky in your back pocket, and depending on which side you wore it on and what colour it was, dictated what you like. And we figured out that because lime green is likes to be taken out for dinner, or likes to take people out for dinner, it was kind of your colour, wasn't
it, Steph? Sweet, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's nice. Is there teddy
just
bear
make
somewhere?
Sure you don't get dark green.
What happens then?
Well, it means you'd be a lady of the night, so.
Lady of the night?
Yeah.
I go to bed after the Irish.
Oh, very good.
So, anyway, we can't go into many of them.
No. Not repeatable, no. Really, on the air, are they?
But so you could get away with Coral, I suppose. Yeah.
There are whole lists online, actually.
There are,
some are more comprehensive than others, but I think the full list actually runs to probably 60 or 70 different colours and designs.
What if you're colourblind? Sorry.
That's a very good point.
I mean, this was like the 60s it came about, 50s?
I think probably the origins lie in the 1940s and 50s, yeah. Right. Sort of the gay leather
definitely,
subculture.
Yeah, definitely started over kind of San Francisco.
That's right.
I think you might find it's earlier than that. It may go back towards the 1920s and the theatre culture.
Oh, right.
Ah. Which is why there are certain colours. And also in the American one, there's one about the doily.
Oh, yes, there is.
Yes. About going to tea shops.
Oh, really? Yes, what, you put a doily on the left or a doily on the right?
Yeah. And it's all about which sort of either being taken to tea or going to tea.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Sounds very civilised.
Crocheted doily?
I have no idea.
It does sound like that should be a very British one, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
I say, let's go for tea and crumpets, why don't we?
Well, I suppose it comes out of the theatre culture of the 1910s, 1920s, because that's very much sort of fits in with that.
Mm.
What does it mean then if you have your jam on top the cream or the cream on top the jam when you're having an afternoon
possibly
tea?
Say on radio.
It depends if you're from Devon or from Cornwall.
It's a regional thing, isn't it? Yeah. Devon or Cornwall, isn't it?
We're rather proud of our Devonshire jam, which is why the jam goes on the top.
And the Cornish have it the other way around.
Because they're proud of their cream.
Okay. So what do gay people have it?
I don't know.
Ask Andy.
Whichever way you want.
Find someone with a doily hanging out their back pocket and ask him.
Or find somebody who's gay. Are you gay?
Am I gay? No.
Yeah.
Totally not. No.
I said,
no,
but then
I'm wearing a doily, so.
You're not wearing a doily, no. Thankfully.
Oh dear. You know I'm going to have to get you a lime green hanky for Christmas now, don't you?
I'll be looking forward to it.
Another one to go in your box.
It will go with my bloodshot eyes,
Gay starter kit.
Oh, the gay starter kit.
Yes.
You can have a lime green hanky.
No, we could have...
Because at least then you could go wrong.
No, we could have any colour hanky. So we supply the starter kit and you choose what hanky you want in the box.
You dye it.
But you'd have to make sure you left instructions as to what they meant.
I think Terry and I have also decided that we're going to actually include batteries now. It seemed odd having to put on the outside of the box batteries not included. It just and this item doesn't fly.
Why do you need batteries with a hanky?
What?
Why do you need batteries with a hanky?
You work it out. You're the techie.
We are going to have to actually do something so that when we get to a big event like the Listeners Awards or something, we can actually put up a "You could win a gay starter kit."
I think that's a wonderful idea. We'll start collecting for it now. Yeah. I'll start looking round the charity shops for those Suzanne Vega albums.
Who?
I wonder where else you're going to find.
She was very big in the hit parade a long time ago.
She was. Luca was one of her hits.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic singer.
I don't think I've heard that.
And she did that. She was remixed, wasn't she, by a band called DNA and had a huge hit. And it goes do 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 do.
Oh yeah.
Do,
do, do. Oh yes.
Remember that?
Tom's Diner. Yeah, that's the name of it.
Oh, thank you, Andy.
There we go.
Yeah, I know.
It's a good idea.
In trouble.
Good idea. It's like having somebody from Google sat right next to you.
Yeah. Who needs Google?
Yes.
Well, we're quite good at our musical trivia, so.
No, you are.
Well, I think me and Laura. Is it Laura or Tara? I can't remember. Christmas quiz, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were very good. They were very good. And Natalie, if you remember Natalie, presenter on BCFM, was just encyclopedic knowledge of popular music.
She was good, yeah.
Anyway.
Right. You got your hanky?
Crack on.
You ready?
Yeah. Because we're off
for dinner.
It's time to say goodbye, Andrew.
Anyway, that's it for this week. But please remember, if this show has got you thinking about things, there are groups out there that can help.
For details of groups and support lines, please visit our show pages on website www.shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, we're going to delve into the world of boy, girl, child. But for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.